Welcome to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
Today we are looking at God's presence is the door to your sufficiency. God's presence is the door to your sufficiency. It is God's presence that will ensure sufficient provisions for you and for your life. We are going to read one scripture together, and then we shall pray before we look at our lesson for the day. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful for another day when we can hear from you. Thank you. It is an honor to know that you provide for us and that you care for your children. Lord, we are grateful that you look out for your children. Even when we go through life and we are not aware of what surrounds us, Lord, in your goodness, in your kindness, in your own grace, you shield us, you protect us. Thank you that you are so concerned with our welfare that it is part of your character to provide and to give us to our fullest. So thank you for being God. Thank you for your goodness again. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to your children. I pray that the Holy Spirit will draw us to your very self. Be with us today. May your presence be here with us as we look at your word and as we encourage one another. Lord, we love you, we exalt you, for we have prayed this in Jesus' name. So God's presence is the door to your sufficiency. If you haven't discovered yet, I would like to let you know today that I am a teacher by profession. I teach college students. And college students can be very funny and very interesting at the same time. You know, I have all kinds of students in my classes. There are times you can be right in the middle of a subject. You're explaining and you're so engrossed in it. And then you see a hand shoot up in the air. So sometimes you finish that concept or you stop right there and you grant them permission to say whatever they have to say or maybe ask a question. Sometimes you actually really expect to hear a question that is related to what you're teaching, especially with that kind of a hand going up at that particular moment in time. But at times you hear some strange questions. Sometimes a student will stand and ask you, "Dr. Kenya, do you have brothers and sisters?" You know, the entire class bursts into laughter and wonders, where exactly did that come from? And what has that got to do with the lesson that we are carrying on at the moment? But you know, I have learned that college students, and of course I have learned from my own children, I have raised two boys and one girl, so they have gone through that stage, I understand them well. But I have learned that college students many times will want to relate and associate and be part and parcel of your own life. So in such moments, they want to get you from just the academia where you are so engrossed, and they want to bring you back down to life. It's like, okay, let us just live again. Let us remember life is continuing. So they ask you this general question. They just want to know a little bit about you. And so if you're like my students, maybe you are also in that boat as you have listened, as you have stayed with us, as we've gone through the lessons. Maybe some questions linger in your mind. Maybe your hand is going up like my student and wondering, and exactly who is this Amelia? Who is this woman? Why is she teaching? Where is she even from? So to save you the trouble, just in case you're wondering, today I would like to tell you a little bit about myself as we relate it to the subject that we'll be looking at in this lesson and the lessons that are coming in the near future. God began wooing my heart into desiring His presence at a very young age. The very first time I heard about the story of Joseph, there was a seed that was planted or really birthed in me that created a hunger for God. Joseph came from a family of 12 siblings, just like our own family. So it was common talk in our own home to compare our family to Jacob's family. My sisters analogized each one of us to the children of Israel. In fact, they wore out my mother's own Bible as they read every description that was given to the children of Israel. They fully believed that their character traits mirrored our own in the order of our birth. There was only one major difference. The Bible only chronicles the sons of Joseph, or the sons of Jacob, but for us, both the sons and the daughters were under that eye of scrutiny. So it was very easy for me to identify and to relate to Joseph. Why? Both of us came from a family of 12 siblings, of course. And both of us were the 11th born in our families. So we were also born to our parents in their old age. And it didn't stop there. We were our father's favorite children. Both of us also shared these big and strange dreams with the members of our family. And we were also homebirds. We liked to stay at home. We did not want to walk out and leave our parents at home. You know, you are allowed to laugh. You can laugh at it. I cannot help but think about it and still laugh at it many years back, many years after all those incidences. So you can laugh. You're allowed. But I followed the episode, literally every episode that recounted Joseph's story with a lot of keenness. And those stories tenderized my heart towards God. And besides, it was actually a very good opportunity for me to know what my sisters thought of me. So, as Joseph was sold by his brothers into Egypt, I learned that Joseph automatically became a slave. He became the legal property of his master. Being a legal property of his master meant that force would be used against him. It also meant that he had no rights of his own. In fact, he would be subjected to hard labor, and there would be very, very little remuneration, if there was any, no rewards at all. He would just be devoted to his own master, and there would also be no chances of him getting back to his own people. I learned that Joseph landed in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard of an Egyptian. It must have been extremely tough for that 17-year-old young man. Many times, it makes you stop and wonder. And even at that age, I also wondered, at that young, tender age, I wondered, how was he going to make an about turn in life? What did he have in place that was going to replace his father's love that had been so quickly taken away from him? How was he going to adjust? And how easy would it be to turn from that pinnacle of endearment to nothingness? Just that nothingness of slavery. But I also learned that there was so much in Joseph's account that was not displayed on the outside. As we read the Bible, and as we really opened the pages and scrutinized, we found out that God had a very interesting revelation of Joseph. And on the very day that Joseph stood before Potiphar, after he had been bought from the Ishmaelites, that very day, what you would have called a very dark day in Joseph's life, God had an interesting revelation. I would like us to read that revelation together. Look at what God said about Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 to 4. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 to 4, the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand." So God was with Joseph, and Joseph was a prosperous man because God was with him. You know, growing up in a polygamous home has its own very unique challenges. And that was another similarity, by the way, that I had with Joseph. My father married another wife after he retired. My stepmother had been married before, but my stepmother, together with my father, had three children of their own. So, after my dad married my stepmother, he moved my stepmother with her three children to a house that we had actually been made to believe that was for our brothers. And so this put our stepmother just a few feet from our own house. As a matter of fact, I had seen my own stepmother at my grandparents' home. But again, we had been made to believe that she was our grandparents' house help. But of course, my mother was not a fool to believe such lies. I'm sure she knew it. But this new marriage complicated very many issues. My mother was neglected. My younger sister and I, who were born in the later decades of my parents' life, were at home to witness the changes in the relationships that took place. There was unnecessary bickering. There was a lot of hard feelings that came on and on until they just became the order of the day. But I loved my father, and I just did not know what to do to help this situation. And I did not want the love we had shared to change. So I looked for reasons all the time to see my father in his new wife's house. And as you can guess, this was an act that angered both my mothers. One afternoon, after we had played our usual game, after we had played our usual game of ravaging through the Bible to find new characteristics that were going to describe us, we, the children of Israel, remember, the enemy struck. My stepmother prepared a dish that I had once enjoyed at her own house. So she carefully filled a plate with food, and then she gave her twin children to deliver it to our house. And as the kids were delivering that food to our house, they met me happily chuckling outside our own house. On that material day, my sisters had just read Genesis chapter 39, and the focus was on me, Joseph. They had warned, they had even scared me that I would live in an unknown land, that I would be taken far away from my own parents and I was going to be a slave. My sisters had gone ahead that afternoon to identify even the meager earthly possessions I had, and they were ready to grab them for themselves when the time came for me to leave home. I remember of special interest to them were my coveted red shoes. In fact, each one of them had used them in spite of how ill-fitting they were. There was only one thing they didn't know what to do and how to do it. They did not know how to steal my father's love. And so they schemed and even devised interesting strategies that would keep my father's supply of those evening goodies that came every day long after I would have left. But that day, in my own little mind, I kept telling myself, my sisters had missed a very key point. And to be honest, I couldn't really blame them because I think I had also missed their key points too. On that afternoon, God had grabbed my attention in a very unusual way as we had read that story. In fact, there were particular phrases that I could not just get over. The Bible had kept saying in Genesis chapter 39 verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. Then you would look at verse 3 and the Bible had still gone on to say his master saw that the Lord was him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Then I would move on to verse 21, and the Bible also had this to say about Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor. And then verse 23, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So you see, for me, whether it was slavery or whether it was departure or whether it was even living in a foreign land, it was immaterial, very, very inconsequential. The Lord was with Joseph. I cherished that idea. I could not get out of it. And in my own mother tongue, it sounds even sweeter and means appeals to my inside even more. Mungu alikuwa na Yosefu. Mungu alikuwa na Yosefu, and the Lord was with Joseph. You know, I could not comprehend, as I thought about that, that the Lord would cherish somebody. That God, this great God that I had always thought about, I had laid down and gazed up at the stars, those heavenly hosts in the night. I would not comprehend and I could not fathom or get over the idea that he would actually come down or he would come and be with someone. I could get so overwhelmed thinking about it, that God could be anywhere, he could be everywhere if he wanted to be with the one he loved. If he favored somebody, if he favored a family, then he really moved in. I could not imagine, as I thought over it, that God would break through the walls of a prison. He would break through the walls of a palace. He would get into the homes of a king or Pharaoh just to be with someone he loved. And I just cherished it. I could not fathom that God would get into somebody's situation to help his children. And so for me, my quest, my hunger, my thirst for the presence of God was lit on, and I could not get away from it, and it could not be quenched. But on this particular day, when I was still resounding those phrases, Mungu alikuwa na Yosefu, and the Lord was with Joseph. As I was still resounding that, the children handed the plate of food to me. And it's funny, instead of saying thank you, because I was right there still chuckling and embracing what I had just read, the phrase left my mouth again before I could even think. And the Lord was with Joseph. Then I uncovered the plate. There was nice looking food. The food was very appealing. It was very appetizing. It looked so crispy and it had a very nice golden color. In fact, the blend of the spices had really enhanced the color and the smell. But for some strange reason, I could not understand why my heart resented it with very deep sadness. There was some very strong compulsion within me not to take it and not to taste it. So on that day, I also gained some interesting courage and asked them, "Your mother never makes food for us. Why did she do it today?" And as I said that, I handed the plate of food back to them and told them, "Sorry, we have already had lunch." Quickly, I turned around, I went back into my chuckles, remembering Joseph, and ran to the house to tell my mother about this strange feeling that I had in me that did not want to taste the food from my stepmother. The children stayed outside that afternoon and ate all the food. And things turned very sour within a couple of hours. We were faced with an emergency. And as it turned out, that food had been poisoned. And the ending was very sad. We lost a very pretty little girl. Days later, as we sat at the funeral, my heart was very saddened at the events that took place. My heart cried, my tears could not stop flowing as I thought of the events. Yet at the same time, there was nothing that could convince me that God was not real. There was nothing that could convince me from that day on that even though God was not physically tangible, he was. I realized that his presence was a reality. God was available. It dawned on me in such a great magnitude as a child that God wants to walk with his children and God wants to help his children in every situation. Going back to those chuckles of childhood, I want to leave you with 5 points that I have learned, and we shall unfold this lesson as the days go by. But from the account of Joseph, very early in life, God instilled in me, number one, that God can walk intimately with a person. God can walk very intimately with a person. Number two, God can break through a prison. He can break through a palace. He can break through any place just to be with the one he loves. Number three, I have learned, just as I learned back then too, that God's presence brings favor. God's presence brings favor. Number four, God makes people prosperous. At a very early age, I learned it is God who makes people prosperous. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And number five, God's presence is a reality you can have. You can have as much God as you want. You can be as close to God as you want. Today, I want to remind you that God's presence is the door to your sufficiency. We will continue with this lesson, and I would like us to close today as we pray together. I do not know what you are faced with today. I don't know the circumstances of your life. I don't know what looks tough, what looks difficult. I don't know whether there are prison walls or there are chains that hold you. But God wants to walk intimately with you. God wants to break whatever holds you, or he wants to break through and come right where you are. God's presence will bring favor. It is God who is going to make you prosperous. And today I want to remind you that God is a reality, or God's presence is a reality that you can have. Our Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you for the truth that you have brought to us today. Break through the prison walls today. Break through the chains of men today. Break through the powers of the enemy today. Lord, move in situations. Move in circumstances. Move in those areas where man may feel that it is impossible for God to get down to. Lord, may you deliver your children. May you put your arms of grace around your children again. May we know that you love us. May we know that you can do anything within your power, or whatever is within your power, to reach out to us and to help us in our circumstances. So breathe upon your children today. Minister to your people. Father, may the Holy Spirit take what has been shared, and may you use it to grow us, to build us, to strengthen us, and to build faith in us in the days to come. Lord, we love you, we exalt you, for we have prayed this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.